NATO's Secretary General was in Prague on Thursday to hold talks with Czech leaders on the crisis in Ukraine and Czech military spending. Moments before flying out of Prague airport, Anders Fogh Rasmussen outlined his views on those issues and more in this exclusive interview with Radio Prague's Ian Willoughby.
NATO chief Anders Fogh Rasmussen has described Russia's annexation of Ukraine's Crimea region as the most serious security crisis since the end of the Cold War. In Prague on Thursday, the NATO Secretary General demanded that Russia de-escalate tensions and pull back around 40,000 troops from near the Ukrainian border. But what can the alliance do to pressure Moscow to back down? And are there any circumstances under which NATO would react militarily in the case of further Russian aggression? I put those questions to Mr. Rasmussen shortly before his departure from Prague. But our interview first touched on Czech military spending. In a damning NATO report quoted by a local newspaper on Thursday, it said the Czech Republic would have serious problems playing a useful role in alliance missions unless the country boosted its defence spending considerably. So I asked Anders Fogh Rasmussen, did such a report exist and had he discussed it with Czech leaders?
We never comment on such reports. We deal with defence planning in a direct dialogue between NATO defence planners and the governments of NATO allies. But we discussed today the possibility to increase defence spending. I have expressed my concerns about the low level of defence spending. And I'm pleased that the Prime Minister assured me that the current government will stop cuts. And then I added, I hope that you can find political support for also gradually increasing defence investments, because we need that.
NATO's target is that member states spend the equivalent of 2% of GDP on defence. The Czech Republic spends just over 1%. Recently, the Czech ambassador to NATO said that the Czechs were beginning to be seen as fair dodgers or freeloaders who weren't pulling their weight financially. Is that the perception at NATO HQ?
No, we consider the Czech Republic a staunch ally, and despite the restricted budget, the Czech Republic has stayed committed to our operation in Afghanistan and also contributed to our KFOR operation in Kosovo. And the Czech Republic is an active participant in a number of multinational defense project. So we appreciate the Czech contribution to NATO. But I have expressed some concerns today, because looking to the future, it is a problem that the Czech Republic spends too little on investments in future-oriented modern military capabilities.
What does the whole Ukraine situation mean for NATO? Has NATO found a new sense of purpose all these years after the end of the Cold War?
Yeah, but I have never doubted about the purpose of NATO. NATO is an alliance which has the core task to provide effective defense and protection of our allies. And of course, the Russian aggression we have seen in Ukraine puts extra emphasis on this core task, because many of our allies are very much concerned about the security situation, and this is the reason why we have enhanced our collective defense.
So far, Moscow hasn't listened to calls from you or other Western leaders to de-escalate the situation and pull its troops back. Is there anything practically that NATO can do to pressure Russia to back down?
While NATO is important in this respect, I think we should all understand that NATO is not the only response. It's much broader, and we are not discussing military options. But if Russia were to intervene further in Ukraine, it would have grave consequences for the relations with what I would call the Western world as a whole, not least economically. And further intervention in Ukraine would, in my opinion, lead to broader economic sanctions that would have a severe negative impact on Russian economy.
Are there any circumstances in which you can see NATO intervening militarily in Ukraine, or perhaps if Russia sets its sights on other countries?
Yeah, but in the case that we are speaking about potential attacks on NATO allies, it's clear that there will also be a firm NATO response. We have the famous Article 5, which states that an attack on one would be considered an attack on all. I think the Russians know that, so I would doubt that they have any intention to attack NATO allies. But that's exactly the essence of this, that strong and credible deterrence is the best way to avoid attacks. And this is the reason why we are right now looking into how we could possibly further strengthen our collective defense and deterrence.
I understand that NATO is going to help the Ukrainian army to reform. What does that mean in practical terms? Will you have NATO troops on the ground in Ukraine?
No, I don't foresee NATO troops on the ground. But, of course, it is an important part of our response to this crisis that we strengthen our cooperation with Ukraine, including military-to-military cooperation. We have a partnership with Ukraine within a special NATO-Ukraine commission. And within that framework, we want to strengthen our practical cooperation when it comes to military capacity development, enhanced Ukrainian participation in NATO exercises, defense reforms in Ukraine. So across the board, we intend to strengthen our cooperation with Ukraine.
Why do you think Russia is acting as it is acting at this particular moment in time?
Well, I see this as part of a bigger strategy. This goes actually beyond Crimea. The overall Russian goal is to prevent countries in Eastern Europe from seeking Euro-Atlantic integration with the EU and NATO. And to that end, Russia is interested in frozen, prolonged, protracted conflicts in the region, like in Transnistria, Abkhazia, and South Ossetia in Georgia. I would add to this also Nagorno-Karabakh. And if you look at all that, you will see that it serves the purpose to prevent these countries from seeking Euro-Atlantic integration, and it also serves Russian energy interests. So it's clear that this is not just about Crimea. It goes beyond that.
And what do you think Russia's end game is in the current situation, the current crisis in Ukraine?
Well, I'm not going to guess about Russian aspirations, but we do see a very massive military build-up along the Ukrainian borders. Maybe around 40,000 Russian troops at high alert, with high readiness, prepared to also invade the eastern part of Ukraine if a political decision is made. Whether that will be made, I don't know. But these troops are not training. They're ready for combat.